And welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And now I have with me Cindy McLeish, who's a local member of parliament, but she's also the deputy leader of the state Liberal Party in the state government, and has a variety of shadow portfolios as well. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you, Alan. Good afternoon, everybody.
And I must apologise to you and the listeners. We tried to get you on last month. You were on your way back from Wonthaggi all funerals are terrible, but for the firefighter, and unfortunately we had a few technical problems, more our problem than yours.
But anyway. That's right. I pulled over with a beautiful view of the ocean, of the bay.
It's a good spot there.
Ocean, yeah.
You were going to tell us a bit about the Warburton Up and Running, Cindy.
Well, the Warburton Up and Running has been going for a number of years, and it was held on Sunday. And they get a pretty good crowd out there. Athletic clubs from a whole bunch of places around Victoria enter, and they have, your 5K, which is a walk or a run. Yep. And obviously, there's medals and stuff for the winners, and they have half marathon, 10K. And there was a pretty good crowd, and I had Team Cindy in.
I did. It's amazing how far some of those people travel for those things, too, aren't they?
Oh, it is. One of the I presented, can't remember if it was a 5 or 10K, one of the winners was from Wooreallock, but, yep, somebody else was from Essendon, and there was, Mooney Ponds, and so, they come from...
Or was it one where they came from Rochester, down to Melbourne?
Gee, that's a dedicated...
They just hired a bus, and a mini bus, and came down.
Yeah, it's fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrific.
And Warburton is looking such a picture. It's just such a postcard pretty town at the minute, and it all kicks off at about 7:30 in the morning, and you've lots of people, and... They probably don't get as much sponsorship as they would like locally, but there's small towns like Warburton are a bit up and down, I guess, in terms of prosperity at times as well. But we've had the Bendigo Bank; they have always contributed to the Up and Running, and they they had a $1,500, I think it was, that they I presented on their behalf, actually, to the organising
terrific
committee.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned your Team Cindy. How did they go?
We weren't among the winners.
You didn't get to present a medal to your own group.
No, certainly not, because you do have teams events as well. Yep. But, we use it out of the office, a couple of the girls out of the office, and I walked, and we walked and chatted and looked at the scenery, and Kerry's husband did. He ran, and he won his age group.
So, did he?
Yes, he did quite well, Barry Godding. But we just, you walk along and you have a look, and you could see the development that's happening around the caravan park. And the Shire next to the caravan park, the old swimming pool, have got their splash park, which is coming along in leaps and bounds.
Terrific.
And people would know the one at Seville, how good that is. Yep. And, I think this might end up being a little bit better, but it's really coming on well, and so you walk past it, so we kind of stopped and had a bit of a look through the fence to see how it was going, because it'll be a huge asset to Warburton. And the caravan park itself, they've upgraded a lot of their infrastructure, and they're getting,
and that tends to happen, doesn't it, when things are going on around
yes,
the town.
That's right. So they're getting new toilet blocks and things, but it was pretty busy. The caravan park was quite busy, and you walk past a whole lot of the cabins as well, and there's always people sitting out there giving you a bit of a wave as you go past. So,
and they're all watching cheering on, but they should be out with you.
Well, some from the caravan park actually become the directors out at, in their orange vests. They're out there directing the traffic to making sure you're going the right way, and then some of us have the little drinks that you can grab a quick drink on the way through.
And those sorts of events, apart from the fun you can have on them, they do tend to bring people in the community together a bit too, don't they? Because they do come along and volunteer and be part of it.
They do. And, it's not easy to put an event on like that. They do quite a bit of promotion through Facebook and things like that. But, you've really got to get people out here. You've got to get bums on seats, so to speak. And that can be a challenge. And then to run the day, because you've got marshals at all sorts of places, and you've got it electronically tracking winners, because people that are, coming out and running the half marathon, you should see them go. They're serious.
And they get very annoyed if the time equipment isn't accurate, don't they? Because that's what they do.
That's right. You know, and there's a small monetary prizes attached to coming, you know, first, second and third.
But it's not so much the money, is it? It's about
the timing. And sometimes, you know, you've got to be very careful about making sure that the right person's been given second or third or first. You know, I've been at events where, you know, somebody slipped through and they didn't realise, and then there's a bit of a hoo-ha about positions, and because it is fairly serious. But then you've got, you know, the food that they've got, fruit there for people when they finish, and a lot of people helping getting it, people organised and registered. So it's a really big community effort. And I know the volunteers do a, you know, great job, and I think I'm sure that they'd be happy for a few more volunteers to come along.
Cindy, you were saying that they had a great weekend up last weekend at Warburton with the fun run and that, but you're saying that tourism, because of the fires and various things, although there was no fires there, is well down.
Look, so many parts of Victoria were impacted by the fires indirectly. So the fires were nowhere near the Upper Yarra or the Yarra Valley at all, or even near Yay for that matter. But all of these towns have taken a hit in January. And I was in the Tourist Information Centre in Warburton. It was just before the end of January, and I was talking to them about their numbers. I went there specifically to see how they fared, how many people were coming in. And they said, oh, look, we've had a reasonable stream of people. And then one of the ladies said to me, look, I'm just going to add up. We're nearly at the end of the month, so let me add up for January.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, we've had 3,000 people come in January 2020. And then she said, let me go and get the books from outside and look the other years. Yeah. And consistently for 2017, 18 and 19 were both over 4,500 visitors.
And this is down to about 3,000.
And down to 3,000. So
this is a significant amount.
A significant amount. And they thought, oh, wow, they hadn't realised. And with that comes the loss of trade for the cafes. And the cafes, you know, do a lot on weekends. They're very busy.
Yep.
But, you know, it's not always so busy during the week. And in January is where you get more people around.
Yeah, because people are out. They're on holidays, aren't they?
I think the caravan park was okay, but it wasn't, you know, as chockers as it normally is. And, you know, I spoke to Inyay, you know, the butcher, because the caravan park in Yay, people weren't coming to Yay. Fires weren't around there.
No.
And the butcher, you know, people go and buy their food for the barbies and stuff like that down at the caravan parks, or, you know, meals and hotels, things like that. They were all down.
Sure. Well, and considering there were no fires in the area, people like Lakes Entrance and Mallacoota and all those, they must have suffered even a lot worse, wouldn't they?
Well, look, out of Mansfield, in fact, Mansfield was ghost town, and normally bumping. Yeah, normally it's bumping.
Yeah.
Now, Mansfield was declared part of the state of disaster. They weren't really sure why that was the case.
Well, that was nowhere near the fires.
Well, there was a fire near Bulla, but that was never going to come in the direction of Bulla, but they were on alert. And there had been a couple near Jamison, and the notifications of the fire stayed on the app well after they were out. So if you were looking to see, you think, oh, actually, there's still fires burning somewhere near Jamison or Mansfield. And there's this great business, the brewery, the Mansfield Jamison Brewery. It's a new opened up. They were doing 400 meals a week. They were down to 40. And so all of the suppliers, now the fires weren't in Jamison or near there.
Yep.
You know, the one was that went out. So, you know, they were really badly affected. Their caravan park, and then the caravan park owner there said to me, oh, I went over to Beechworth. I thought, oh, I better go and visit somewhere in regional Victoria. He said, I went over to Beechworth and it was dead. He said there was no one there. So Beechworth, again, like the valley, not impacted by fires. But
just by the numbers.
Just by the numbers.
And the other problem is a lot of people have used up their leave now too, and so they can't go back now for a few months, can they?
That's right. You know, some people were rebooking, but, you know, it people stayed home. So, you know, impacted on so many people.
And the economy in some of these towns is based on the tourist dollar, isn't it? That's what pumps the town up.
Yeah. And look, we've seen some wonderful, you know, opening up of generosity from Victorians again. And, you know, on the weekend there's the Healesville are having a benefit to
With the It's right beside us. The Black Sorrows, Travis Collins, and many others on.
Oh, you see, Black Sorrows are pretty cool, aren't they? Food that's at the race course. There's food trucks, a car show, and the cruise. They've got an auction as well.
Yep.
So that's a great benefit that's being done in Healesville. I went to one last week in Panton Hill. Mansfield have had things. A lot of farmers have got behind donating hay.
Terrific.
And I was up at Corryong a couple of weeks ago, and you know, it was exciting. Well, I was excited to see the number of trucks with round bales full. You know, five trucks one day and about the same the next day.
Fantastic.
You know, all delivering hay, because you know, it's, while you've got no, you lose your, sometimes you lose your stock, which is dreadful.
Yep.
You lose your grass in the paddocks, if there was any, and you also lose your haystacks and stuff like that. So, you know, you're really behind the eight ball, and people did have to destroy stock as well. It's all
just
pretty
terrible, isn't it?
It's awful. It really is. But, you know, we saw some wonderful examples of generosity from out down this way. And, you know, congratulations to everybody who was a part of, you know, the Rotary clubs that made things happen, or the benefits that are making things happen. Congratulations to everybody.
Fantastic. Cindy, you're going to tell us a bit about the Healesville Green.
Well, the Healesville Green is an interesting little space at the bottom of Green Street in Healesville on River Street. And it's been quite contentious, because for quite a long period of time, the community have been using that as, you know, open space, but having a community market in there, which spills into the car park. So, you know, it's quite a bit of a vibrant activity, but it's owned by VicTrack. And so the government own it. So the government want to flog it.
Yep.
And no secret, they're trying to flog off everything. So they've been trying to work out what to do with this, how to do it. And there is a process selling off government land. Yep. So if it belongs to VicTrack, so transport, they say to all the other government departments, this is surplus, do you need it? And the police will go, oh, no, we don't need it. Or, you know, everyone will get an opportunity. And sometimes they'll say yes and sometimes no. So it was declared that the government didn't want it. So then they offer it to council. So this is the process. It doesn't matter what it is. They offer it to council. And council were interested. And someone had said to council, oh, yeah, it'll be about $400,000. So the council thought, oh, we can afford that.
Mm.
Well, then the valuer general gets involved and says, oh, it's no, it's not $400,000, it's $1.2 million. And then the council like, ah, I don't know that we can afford that. We're not sure about that. So then there's been this bit of, you know, argy-bargy, because, you know, a lot of people in the community want, they want the government to hand it over. The government is in no position to hand over money. They're just about skint now.
Yep.
So they're looking for revenue.
Yep.
But, you know, the community been putting up a fight for a while, and I've raised it with various ministers. And so the most recent information I got from one of the ministers in charge was that they're looking to rezone it. And if they rezone it, that changes the value of it.
No, it brings it up, doesn't it?
It's going to bring it down. So they're expecting that the rezoning is going to be able to bring the price down, and then the council may be in a position to buy it.
Gee, that'd be great. That'd be a good outcome.
It would be, because, you know, when they put very high values, you know, I mean, councils aren't made of money. It's people's rates, you know, at the end of the day. And they've got, you know, in an area like this, they've got lots of roads to maintain and rubbish and all of that sort of stuff to collect. So council, I think, would, you know, be quite happy to buy it, but at a reasonable price. It looks as though that it could be, you know, the wheels have turned. Because if the council don't want it, then it gets flogged off privately and they'll auction it. And this is what happens quite a bit, you know, that government bits of government land are sold. And then once it's sold, and depending on the zoning, you know, you can...
Well, they never come back, do they?
Yeah, they never come back. So with a bit of luck, you know, we'll see this remain in community hands, because now, what, or the council's hands anyway, because at Melbourne Water had their depot out at Warburton.
Right.
And the business park, the enterprise park, had been leasing it for quite a long time, and then the government wanted to sell that as well. And this is a couple of years ago, and, you know, I raised it with the minister and said, look, we've got all of these little start-ups and small cottage businesses running out of the old Board of Works. It's just a great setup how they've got it, the Yarra Rangers Enterprise community. Really, really terrific. They've done a great job. And the minute they wanted to look at seeing if they could come to an arrangement with the government to buy it. And so, you know, I said to the government, can you put it on hold? And anyway, we got a great outcome down there. So,
terrific.
You know, it's important that if communities are really keen on bits of land for different reasons, or, you know, the council want it, that we can actually, you know, sometimes work with the government of the day and make the changes that are going to keep things, you know.
That'd be a terrific outcome.
Supporting communities.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It's really about, you know.
Because once it gets in the hands of the developers, it never comes back again at all.
No, no. Occasionally somebody will buy it and then donate it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to have somebody with deep pockets to do that.
You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 20 minutes to 2 and still 17 degrees. And I've got with me Cindy McLeish, our local MP, apart from many other things. Cindy, you're going to tell us a bit about a couple of the local primary schools.
Well, I am. I'll start with Badger Creek Primary School. They came into Parliament at the start of the year, which is always good. And so when the kids come in, you know, they always notify the Member of Parliament for the area, and they sit the kids down and you have a bit of a chat to them, and the kids ask a few questions. And, you know, I think the first question I ask, you know, how many people got a good night's sleep last night because they camp in town? And, and some kids go, yes, and others go, no. And I said, you know, put your hand up if your friend kept you awake talking all night, and all the hands go up. But, you know, it's a great experience when they take the kids. Sometimes they'll go to Canberra, but sometimes they come to to State Parliament. And so on top of that, then on Friday last week, I went to Badger Creek Primary School and presented the school captain's badge, the leadership badges, and they do a great job, you know, involving all of the kids, making sure that each child in year six is, you know, a leader in some way as well. So it's terrific, you know, lots of badges and lots of excited kids, and they're off to their swimming sports, but it's, you know, it was really good.
Yeah. No, and it's terrific for the young people too, isn't it? It really is.
Look, it is. And do you know, I mean, kids have so many opportunities. Even when they do assemblies, you know, the school captains run the assemblies at pretty well every school these days.
Yep.
And that gets every kid standing out in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
And one of the boys on the weekend, on Friday, was unscripted. And he was just doing a really good job. And I heard one of the teachers say to the other one, he's not even using a script. Isn't he going well?
That's terrific, isn't it?
It's amazing. You know, grade sixes, terrific. You know, it's exciting.
And it's also terrific at the end of the year, because they start off really good and they finish up fantastic at the end of the year too. The experience for them is terrific.
Look, it really is. And they'll have nailed so many things and their confidence will really grow.
Yep.
And it's wonderful how schools vary that, you know, they have different roles to get many kids involved. Yarra Glen Primary, actually, they have leaders for each term. So that means there's four terms. So there's 16 kids get a go at being, you know, one of the main leaders for that term. So that gives everybody a bit of a go, and other schools do the more traditional things.
No, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Cindy, while we're talking to the Yarra Valley Trail, they opened a bit more of it at a week or so ago.
Well, they did. Saturday morning, a couple of weeks ago, they were down there, and the Shire and the federal government and the state government, it's always good when there's three levels of government involved in a project.
Yep.
And just at the back of the yards at Lilydale Station, down there, they've opened the trail to Yering at the minute. So I was in January. It's been open for a few, unofficially open for
for a little while, yep.
Yeah, because in January I was driving down from Yarra Glen through the back way past the airport, which is what I tend to do, and I thought, there's people walking in there. Where are they walking? And we had to stop and pull in and have a look, and you can see that there's a riding and walking track. So, you know, congratulations to everybody involved.
Yep.
So Rail Trails Australia have been really big because they really love, you know.
They've really done a great job, haven't they?
Look, and it brings community out. We had the Lilydale BMX guys. They were out in force. They're apparently a very big, one of the biggest BMX clubs in the state. So they were out there, but it gets, you know, the families were out doing the barbecue, the parents, and so it's a really strong community thing. And communities will use it, but other people will come to ride it. And so Rail Trails Australia called it Part 1A because part 1B is from Yering to Yarra Glen. So we've got a little way, and then, you know, part 2 and part 3 are to Healesville and into Wurrialik, into the other, you know, the Warburton,
yep,
Lilydale rail, yeah, trail.
Terrific. Cindy, you've got to tell us all about an author of a book that you've been involved with or you've heard about.
I went to a book launch last Thursday night at Melbourne University, and the book was written by Sandy Jeffs, who is an author from Christmas Hills. And Sandy's written many books, but it's always about... she's written poetry, but her books have been also about living with schizophrenia. And one of her books... I think it's Flying with Paper Wings was the first one I read, and it talked about life growing up but then being diagnosed with schizophrenia and living with it. And she's 60-ish now. She's also a hockey player and she's a musician. She does a whole bunch of things, and she's, you know, pretty functional. But, you know, when I read her book about Flying with Paper Wings, it gave me a real understanding of people who might be in the city wandering aimlessly, looking up and talking, and she's, you know, she says they're talking to the voices. This is, you know, it's given me a whole different perspective. And this latest book, Out of the Madhouse, because she'll say, oh no, look, I'm mad, you know, Larundel was the madhouse, I spent a lot of time in Larundel. So she's got interviewed 78 people
From Larundel.
Yep. Some of them were in there as patients, inmates, as she calls them. She refers herself to an inmate. Yep. And she had some of the staff, different people with different roles, and talked about what they did and how they did it. And so that book was launched last week, Out of the Madhouse. And I look forward to reading it. I've got a couple of things on my reading list at the minute, but I will read that because Sandy does give such a great insight. And one of the things that she has said, and I read in her other book, was that it's not all bad. So, you know, we had this view of institutions of being all bad. So she'll say, it wasn't all bad. Wasn't all good either, but it wasn't all bad. And one thing in particular that has stuck with me was the grounds. That they, Larundel was on, you know, enormous grounds and gardens and... the therapeutic value of the grounds, and how good, you know, you were getting outside and breathing in the air and just getting among nature. Yep. And with the units now, they have, you know, even the shorter or longer stay units, they don't tend to have that. You know, Larundel was sold off and chopped up into housing. And it's interesting because we've quite changed the way we do things. But she said some of the things that they did at Larundel weren't good.
Weren't all bad.
Yeah, there was some bad stuff, that, you know, some drugs that people shuffled and slurred and dribbled.
Yeah.
She said you always knew when they were on a particular type of drug. But she said they taught them some really great skills about how to get out and live in the environment. And she thought some of this stuff's missing from modern-day mental health.
Fair. So what is she saying now with mental health today? Like, it's just all treated too much with drugs and not enough...
Yes, and in fact, some of the at the launch, she had some of the doctors who were involved also at Larundel, and they said some of the stuff they were doing was leading edge at the time, and even the mother and baby stuff was very much leading edge. But, you know, it's come a lot around to, you know, drugs are the be all and end all now. Drugs are very helpful, but, you know, there's other things and other skills and things that people need. Fascinating insight, you know. So if people are really interested in mental health, and certainly schizophrenia, you know, Flying with Paper Wings, or this latest one, Out of the Madhouse, by Sandy Jeffs. She's written it in collaboration with another lady whose name I forget at the moment. But
and if she's suffered for over 40 years and been part of the system, then you're not talking to some, or not reading some academic, are you? You're reading someone who's been there and done that.
Yes, and she said interviewing, you know, the 78 people, you know, was daunting. You know, she started off interviewing a few, and then it was over quite a long period. Yeah. And then actually to turn that into a book, and she realised she needed help to get it into a book, because it's just not... And even though she'd done books before, but she said there was so much information and to sort it, to lay it out. So, yeah, it was a fascinating launch. I was, you know, really pleased to be
invited.
And
all courage to her to get up and be part of the launch.
Oh, God, all courage to her. You know, she's she's amazing. And we often correspond because I'm a hockey player and she's a hockey player. So she always lets me know how her hockey team is faring as well.
So apart from everything else, apart from being an author, it, like she hasn't held, let this hold her back in her life, has she? Like she's obviously had bad times. But
she's had very bad times.
But she's also got out and played sport.
And yeah, and she's involved in music. And, you know, then she might collapse in a heap for a period, but she'll get back on top of it again. And it's understanding, you know, her limits. And she's got very strong friendship support around her, which makes a huge difference of, you know, really, you know, her housemates look after her greatly.
Oh, that's terrific.
And I think, you know, if you've got strong family, or if you're a family of somebody, you know, with mental illness, and if you can help be there to support them, because so many times relationships break down and people end up on the street, and it impacts not so much more on their mental health, but also on the homelessness. Really important issues.
Cindy, you want to just tell us a bit about Yellingbo before we...
Look, Yellingbo Primary School's been closed down for a few years, and the government are, you know, working out what to do with it and whether or not to flog it off, as I was talking before about some of these you know, sites that are excess surplus to requirements. And I've been contacted a lot of people about the long grass and snakes and things like that, and it hadn't been maintained. So we'd written to the minister, and I think we got a little bit of action, but I circulated his letter to a number of people in Yellingbo, and they said, well, it hasn't been maintained like this. It hasn't done that. But, you know, it's communities are out there, and they're very active and watching. And so I just, you know, for everybody, if you've got a piece of government land there that's not being looked after and you think is a fire hazard, which people are worried about, they're worried about vermin and vandalism, that, you know, we've had a bit of action there, I'd like to think, but we're continuing to fight to support that. And I'd really like to see that building end up with the Scouts or somebody like that if it's going to be surplus to
requirements. Great idea. Cindy, unfortunately, I've got to go. Thank you for coming in again today. And we'll look forward to seeing you in a month's time.
You will.
Thanks very much.